Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 10. In verse 12, hatred stirs up strife. There is a thing to ponder on for a while. It's not the message, but man, if you park it there, you can really chew on this one for a long time. Hatred stirs up strife. When you consider what hatred is, there's several expressions of hatred. It's not just a hot disliking of somebody, but hatred stirs up strife. But love covers all sins. Love covers all sins. Now, sometimes people will ask, what about the facts? Should love cover all sins? How is this right? And sometimes people will say, well, what if the sin is against the law? Does love cover sins even if it's against the law? And what they're doing without realizing it is bringing in another branch of God's government. There are five institutions. We call them institutions. You can actually think of them as expressions of government that God has brought in for us to live in. The first one is the ability to choose. If we have the ability to choose, we are expressing a government that we're under. I either choose life or I choose death, Moses said. And so we want to choose life, which means that in Hebrews 4:16, we have to be under the government of God. If we are under the government of Satan, which is the throne of iniquity in Psalm 94:20, then we will choose death by definition. But we have to choose. The second one is marriage. Within a marriage structure, God also established government. Then there is family, and as families know, there is government within the family. Then there is the church, and then there is national entity. If a sin is also a crime, then it falls under national entity. In other words, the justice system has every right to deal with the crime. As a matter of fact, if the justice system does not deal with the crime, then the justice system is corrupted, lacking, broken. Something is wrong with it if it's not dealing with the crime. Believers sometimes go either way, to one extreme or the other. In other words, they have one misappropriation or the other. They say, love covers a multitude of sins. I've seen a crime, but I'm not going to say a word because love covers a multitude of sins. And they're forgetting about national entity. They don't understand that institution. That crime falls under a different aspect of government. This aspect is actually about volition. I see a sin, or for that matter, I sin, but I don't talk about it. I don't reveal it. I don't tell people what happened. If it's not a crime, then that's the correct thing to do. If it's a crime, I don't tell everybody and their cousin either, but it's completely in order to tell the police because it's a crime. I see somebody hurt somebody and I say to myself, well, I can't call anybody. I can't say anything because love covers sins. Absolutely, you can. That falls under national entity. That falls under social structure, which is part of national entity, and therefore, absolutely you can call the police. You just don't tell your best friend about it necessarily. But you do tell the police. You guys see the difference? There's a balance in this. But let's assume that the sin is not a crime, and most sin is not. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Love covers all sins. And then people say, well, what about facts? Don't I want to live in the truth? And there's a problem that happens there. In 1 Peter 4:8, above all things have fervent love unto yourselves, because love will cover a multitude of sins. Well, what about truth? What about facts? You see, sometimes it looks to us like the Bible is telling us to go against the truth. Well, truth is that something happened. Somebody did something. That's the truth, right? And then I'm being told to cover that up. What about transparency? Isn't that part of truth? Aren't people supposed to know the facts? Isn't that what's really going on? And the answer is very simple. People often think that truth and facts are the same thing. Sometimes if you say to them there's a difference between truth and fact, they'll actually mock you and scoff at you and think you're absolutely ridiculous that you're trying to pull a stunt on them. They don't understand truth. Facts are circumstances. I look at a circumstance in my mind, I interpret what's going on, I comprehend it, and I say this is the fact about this circumstance. There's a problem with that, though. What makes up facts is unreliable. Facts are, technically, interpretations of data. Now, the data can be of any sort. It can be scientific data on the one hand, which is what we usually think of as data, but it can also simply be, well, I see that the traffic light is red, and that is data. That is information. That's all data really is. It's information that we collect. So facts are based in information that we collect. We collect it in the simplest way constantly. I look at something, and now I have data. Now I have information. I hear something. Now I have information. I go down in the morning and I smell bacon, and that is information, and I'm happy about it. And I say, the fact is that there's bacon. But that's not always reliable. Have you ever woken up in the morning and you think you hear bacon sizzling on a pan? And then you realize it was the water running. And the fact that you thought you smelled bacon was actually produced by your brain from a sound, not from a smell. And the sound was incorrectly interpreted by the brain because the brain has a catalog of sounds, and this sound was like bacon frying. But in reality, it was water running. And you go and you realize, wow, there's no bacon, and you're amazed that you could actually smell the bacon. You had data. Before you went to investigate the information that you had by going to see the bacon, you had a fact. But the fact was incorrect. It did not reflect reality. So you go down and you find, no, it's not bacon, it's water, and the smell goes away. And you don't smell bacon anymore. Because your brain is now not telling you that there's bacon, it's telling you there's water, and water doesn't have a smell. So you no longer smell the water. It's just the way the brain works. Now, the problem with facts is that facts are human interpretations of information. We may think we have it completely correct based on the information that we have, and so we say this is a fact. However, our brain might not be interpreting correctly, so our facts can be unreliable. Now, facts can be based on a whole bunch of different things, because a whole bunch of different things are used by the brain to interpret information. Previous experiences. Things that you've seen or heard long ago and you even forgot about them, they're just stored somewhere deep down in your brain in what's called the unconscious mind, and you don't even know it's there. And it can crop up on you without knowing it and influence your interpretation of information. facts in science change all the time. Every 4 years, the facts that we think we have in biology, half of them are obsolete, or we know they're no longer correct. So we've gotten new information, new data, that now eliminates the old data. That means our facts change. Reality doesn't, but the facts do. Because facts are subjective. We think they're objective because we're dealing with something outside of us, but the way that we understand that thing is subjective because it requires the interpretation of our mind, of our brain. And if the brain is interpreting something, there's a whole lot of things that come into play that we have no knowledge of, that it's even there, influencing the way that I'm thinking. One of my favorite examples, in New York City, this is several years ago, maybe 20 years ago, maybe a little longer, there were some researchers trying to research the way that people perceive things, the way they understand them. And they staged a mugging in front of the Museum of Art. And researchers dressed as police officers came shortly after the mugging and interviewed witnesses. Each witness gave them a completely different story. The only thing they agreed on was there was a mugging. But what the person looked like, what color the person was, what sort of clothes they were wearing, was it a man or a woman, all of this stuff was different from one person to the next. But all of them would swear in court that they were giving you the facts. Facts are interpretations, and interpretations are not reliable. On the other hand, there's truth. In John 17:17, God's word is truth. In John 14:6, Christ is truth. That's a huge difference. Facts change, truth never changes. Facts are sourced in us, truth is sourced in Christ, in God. God's word is God's mind, that's truth. Who God is, that's truth. The reason why He sanctifies us in truth is because He sanctifies us in the Word of God. That's truth. Truth is reality as God knows it exists. Facts are our interpretations of circumstances. Big difference. So sometimes people say, well, truth is fact. Right? And facts are truth. No. They're also confusing facts with honesty. Well, honesty is truth, right? No. Honesty is a matter of disposition. A person may be honest, sincerely giving, without attempt at deception, their interpretation of things. This really is my interpretation. I'm not trying to deceive you about my interpretation. It doesn't say anything about whether the interpretation is according to reality or not. It's disposition. It's personality. Things like that make up honesty. People say, well, he's an honest person, and that's fine. I'd rather he be honest than dishonest. But does he have truth to live in? If he has the truth, then it doesn't much matter whether he's honest or dishonest, he's going to live in truth. He's not going to live in his disposition. Now, the Word of God says in Numbers 23:9 that God is not a man that he should lie. In Hebrews 6:18, it's impossible for God to lie. God is not capable of lying. Because by definition, with God being truth, there's no way to lie for God. It's not possible. It doesn't exist. If it's coming from God, it's truth. If it's not coming from God, it's a lie. Now, there's only two sources. In John 8:44, Satan is the father of all lies, and all lies come from him. Now, here's an issue, and sometimes people have a real issue with this. In John chapter 7, Jesus said to his brothers, "I'm not going to go to the feast in Jerusalem." They asked him, "Are you going to the feast?" He said, "No, I'm not going to the feast in Jerusalem." His brothers left, and then he went to the feast. Was he lying? No. Because facts and truth are two different things. A lie is a kingdom issue. It comes from the kingdom of the enemy. Truth is a kingdom issue. It comes from the kingdom of God. Christ is the source of the kingdom of God. Whatever Christ says, whatever Christ does, by definition, is truth. He is God. He cannot lie. It's not possible for him to lie. Did he represent the facts? That's like asking, in reality, did he represent the circumstances? He's not required to. The kingdom of God was farther advanced by him not representing the circumstances. He needed to go up there without people bothering him, without people wanting something from him. He needed to go up there without people knowing who he was. He needed to go up there privately. Why? I don't know, but he had reasons. And whatever it was, because it was Christ, it was furthering the kingdom of God. So for him to say, "No, I'm not going to represent to you the circumstance," was not a lie. It didn't come from the enemy. It wasn't Satan doing it. It was truth, by definition, because it came from God. We have this thing built into our heads. Fact equals truth. Fact is completely different than truth. It's like saying apples equals light bulbs. Huh? Completely two different things. Facts and truth are completely two different things. Christ sometimes misrepresents circumstances to further the kingdom. Gideon was a perfect example of this. When Gideon went against the Midianites were the archenemies in those days of Israel. When Gideon went against the Midianites, he did not represent his circumstances. As a matter of fact, nowadays when armies go against their enemies, they don't represent their circumstances either. Gideon only had 300 guys, and the Midianites had over 100,000. So he was severely outnumbered. But God gave Gideon a plan. And Gideon took his guys, spread them apart, and he gave them these lanterns that they kept covered. Usually in battle, a lantern would be held by a captain, and there would be about 100 guys behind him. And so he gave each guy a lantern, and he kept it covered. And he says, "When you hear the signal, uncover the lantern and yell as loud as you can, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.'" Well, the Midianites, in the middle of the night, saw this happen. They didn't see the people, but they saw the lanterns, and they thought there were many more soldiers than there actually were on the battlefield. They became afraid, and they ran away. That was truth, although it covered the facts. The facts were not revealed. The facts were there were only 300 Israelites on the battlefield. Midian could have taken them in 5 minutes. Truth was that God had a plan. God was the God of Israel. Israel was God's chosen people. God chose to deliver Midian into the hands of Israel, and he did it with only 300 people. God was not impressed or interested in or worried about whether or not the enemy's camp understood Israel's circumstances. He wasn't worried about giving the enemy the facts of Israel's situation, because truth would be violated if he did. In World War II, there were a lot of Christians, other people too, but a lot of Christians who hid people who were Jews. The Nazis were trying to kill the Jews. And they would come into these different countries and they would try to kill all the Jews in those countries. And a lot of people, a lot of Christians also, would hide these Jews. And the Nazis would go up to them and say, "Are you hiding Jews?" And the Christians would say, "No." But they were. Did they lie? They simply didn't represent circumstances as they were, but they lived in truth. God was interested in preserving the Jews, not in killing them. The devil wanted to kill them. God wanted to preserve them. And so truth and fact didn't always line up. Still, they don't always line up. A person sins. Did they sin? I saw somebody sin, let's say. Did they sin? Somebody comes up to me. Did they sin? No. Well, isn't that a lie? No, that's truth. Now, it's not the circumstance, and if you think that an accurate representation of the facts, as I understand them, is truth, then you'll never understand kingdoms. Truth is, we have no sin. Fact is, we're wretched sinners. But we have no sin. How did that happen? The blood of the Lamb. Truth is completely different than fact. Truth is that which comes from God. Fact is what comes from us when we're sincere. But it's not the same as truth, and it's not reliable. Truth never fails. Facts fail all the time. Don't ever think to yourself that grace is contrary to truth. It's not. Grace is truth. Because it's a throne of grace. God's throne is a throne of grace. He is the truth. His throne is grace. When I live in grace, I live in truth. When I live in forgiveness, I live in truth. When I live in covering of sins, I live in truth. When I say, I will not expose another person, or for that matter, if I've sinned, I will not expose myself, I live in truth. You're not lying when you're applying grace. A lie would be to actually expose somebody's sin so that people could have negative thinking about them, and that may not be your motive, but that will be the result. Well, Satan is the accuser of the brethren. It doesn't talk about facts or no facts. It's just Satan is the accuser of God's people, is all it's saying. And he is. So I don't participate with the enemy's camp and live outside of grace. I stay under the authority of God and I live in grace. Grace will sometimes say, I have nothing, but I have everything I need. And people don't understand that. How can you have nothing and everything you need at the same time? Let me give you an example. Years ago, a missionary that I know who was in Norway had no money at all, not a penny. And their refrigerator was empty. And his wife told him, "Honey, there's nothing in the fridge." And he said, "Honey, we have no money." And so you can't buy any food if you don't have any money. What are they going to do? The next morning when they woke up, there were 3 bags of groceries outside of their front door. And somebody they didn't even know wrote a note in there and said, God told us we should buy you these groceries. And that was that. That person didn't know that they had no money and no food. God knew that. It doesn't matter what your facts look like. The grace of God is always according to truth. Therefore, the grace of God is bigger than your facts. Facts are not reliable. Grace is. The fact that God takes care of you is reliable. The fact that you have nothing is not reliable. That can change in an instant. And God will make it change when you need Him to. Truth always expresses grace. Don't ever think that if grace goes contrary to what you think the facts are, that it's a lie. No. It's not a lie. It's truth. It's from the right kingdom. So it can't be a lie. If it were a lie, it would be from Satan's kingdom. Sometimes Satan's kingdom likes to use facts. People fail, and the devil makes sure that people start talking about it all the time. Well, you know what that does? Number one, it tramples the blood of Christ, which takes care of the failure. And number two, it prevents that person from ever being restored, from ever being helped. And he's damaged the kingdom as well as the person. Is that truth? No, that's a lie. Was it a fact? Doesn't matter. It came from the enemy, it made it a lie. If it came from God, it makes it truth. Amen? If you don't know that you're going to go to heaven when you die, pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, I accept you as my Savior. I accept your gift of mercy and what you have done on the cross. Save my soul. Take me to heaven when I die. And give me a relationship with you now as you come into my heart and live.